Now, in its latest report, the international charity Oxfam says that gender and economic inequality are shockingly entrenched and too few governments are committed to resolving the gap. Now, it was released ahead of the World Economic Forum in Davos, and it warns that aging populations, cuts in public spending, and the climate crisis are likely to exacerbate the situation further. One of the shock statements came out, the report, is that the world's 22 richest men, right, those are the 22 richest men in the world, have more combined wealth than all 323 million women in Africa. So, joining you this morning, Temenkosi Dlamini, lead for Oxfam South Africa's Economic Justice Program, to take you through that report. Temenkosi, good to have you on the show.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for having us on the show.
So let's start globally, and then I'd like to zoom into South Africa in particular, if it does. What are some of the main points, the glaringly obvious points that need to be addressed and that we need to know about?
Well, I think the report is clear in terms of global inequality is rising, which simply means that the rich are getting richer, while the middle and low-income populations are getting poorer and poorer. This should not be a problem per se, because what we believe is that they should be using this wealth to create jobs and opportunities for the people at the bottom of the ranks. However, what we see is that increasingly the rich people are rising because they pay their workers a poverty wage, and that there is a lot of casualization of jobs where people are now involved in what is called the gig economy, where you work for a few hours every week instead of full-time. There is also a cutting back, significant cutting back of benefits, such as medical aid, leave days, and so forth, which then made it possible for workers to have a good work-life balance, if you like. Yeah.
Now, Tim, of course, we talk about this, and this report tends to point fingers at big businesses and rich people. But what responsibility should people like Cyril Ramaphosa take, who a lot of people are suggesting now doesn't have a backbone and won't do things to turn this economy around? You have to make sure that people want to invest in a particular economy. We've heard of Telkom, which, by the way, the state has a share in. We've heard, of a host of others, Saldanha Steel closing. We've heard of lots of other companies looking to get people on short time. Is it the company's fault? And should governments not be taking responsibility for not creating environments that are conducive to investment and growth?
Certainly, yes. Government is the insurer of last resort, which simply means as the economy is shedding jobs, is hemorrhaging jobs, the government should have the social security systems in place to make sure that those people who lose their jobs, they do not fall through the cracks.
But that is not my point. My question was very simple. My question is the following. You blame big business and you blame rich people, and you're saying businesses don't pay decent wages. But have we asked ourselves whether or not those companies are not under stress as a result of the lack of leadership and will at the most senior levels in government?
Well, I think to some extent, a government is putting in place a conducive business environment. However, they have limited tools in their hands, such as cutting back on taxes, which is reducing the amount that is available to government to put in place a conducive business environment and also to provide social services, as you like. So in essence, what we are saying is that there are changes, structural changes in the global economy. We are all of us going to take a beating, including big business. And government has very limited tools in their hands to deal with that situation.
Limited tools. Explain to me what those limited tools are. You talk about rate cuts and you talk about, you know, we've seen a rate cut recently, as well as it was 25 basis points. What about a government who cripples, for example, an Eskom? A government who puts cronies in place, cronies who run an organization like Eskom down to its knees and cripples other businesses. And as a result of that, growth forecasts for a country like South Africa is revised downwards from 1.2% to just under 1%. You can't say government's got limited tools, and I'm talking specifically about South Africa here. Surely government also needs to take a lion's share of the responsibility for the nonsense that we find ourselves in at the moment.
Yes, certainly, yes, I agree in total. For instance, when we talk about the energy crisis currently affecting South Africa, is one of the causes that we think in South Africa is coming off the back of women and making them poorer and poorer. Mm. Because women now have to ensure that the energy needs of particularly rural households are met, where electricity prices are rising and rising and the electricity is being more and more reliable. Yeah. So government is to blame for such things. When young children such as Mosambele die trying to fetch water from a stream, it's because government is failing to provide piped water into the household where young girls stay so that young girls can focus on their education and yeah. also play so that they develop well. So there is no shifting the blame away from government, as it were.
Yes.
Labor participation rates of women in particular are being reduced because women of childbearing age do not have access to childcare. So one of the women that we heard yesterday, Lula Mamali, was saying, as Johannesburg informal traders, they have to put their young children, newly born children, in tomato boxes whilst they trade. Mm. In the rest of the world, they should be going to a daycare situation, yes. where they put there whilst the women go to work.
Yes.
So this is why we are saying the government is not doing nearly enough to resolve the situation that we have, hence the situation that we find ourselves in. Mm.
And we obviously have to look at those businesses as well, because they do play an important role. Yes, a lot of people amass the wealth, and there are lots of business leaders in the United States who've backed Bernie Sanders, for example, and said that they don't deserve the tax incentives they get. They need to be taxed more because they're making too much money. Obviously, there are some who disagree, but that is the other side of this particular equation that we need to look at as well.
It is not only tax incentive, but also tax dodging and profit shifting, where you find that businesses are able to shift a bulk of their profits offshore to typical tax havens or low tax jurisdictions by simply creating fictitious companies in those countries who provide no services to the company, but they claim that those companies are servicing the business. So to inflate their costs and therefore pay as limited tax as possible in the country where they produce a bulk of their income. So certainly governments, even at the global international level, we need to deal with these issues such as base erosion and profit shifting and the tax evasion and tax dodging tendencies of particularly multinational corporations. Some companies such as Amazon, Starbucks, you name them, they have been found to be on the wrong in as far as meeting their tax obligations in a number of countries where they operate.
Temenkosi Dlamini. He's the lead for Oxfam South Africa's Economic Justice Program. He joins you. Oxfam's released their latest report looking at economic inequality globally, but we'll also focus in on Africa. And I want to find out more about some of the numbers that they have at their disposal. We'll continue with Temenkosi Dlamini next. And you are joined by Temenkosi Dlamini on Today. That is the name of the show. Right, you're on 567 Medium Wave Cape Talk. I'm Kino Kamis. Temenkosi is the lead for Oxfam, South Africa's Economic Justice Program. And this Economic Inequality Report shows some startling numbers that I'd like to dig into. So, Temenkosi, when we look at the extent of inequality, let's look at what one would hope are the objective factual numbers that underpin what you are saying. Run us through some of them.
Yes, for instance, in South Africa, a CEO would earn in one day what their workers would earn the whole year. So you would have to work for the whole year to earn what your CEO earns in one day. So that is the situation that we are sitting at in terms of the inequality. And really, it is the shop floor people that create value for the company. And therefore, there is no justification for such. If you look at...
Let's stop. Let's go right there. We'll move on from one to the other, right? So, okay. So the CEO in the company, depending on whether he or she is the founder or not, they take the financial risk. If they close down, they're not the ones owing hundreds of millions to institutions. So that job is a high-risk job. And one would imagine that it needs to be a higher paid job, a much higher paid job, than someone working on a factory floor. Where is this happy medium that you suggest?
Yes, of course, in the factory shop, that's where you stand the biggest chances that you'll die because of inhaling the fumes or some chemical spilling on you. Or sure. Some machine just killing you. So when we talk about the dangers that are involved, surely someone who sits in the high office experience.
Now, but I'm not talking about dangers per se. I'm talking about risk, capital risk. You know, if I said to the unions tomorrow, no problem, I'll give you all a 50%, 100%, 200% increase, but I need you to sign a contract to state that if there's not productivity, if the company does fold, and I will allow you to make representations at board level, etc., you have to carry part of the burden of loss. Do you think they'd agree?
Yes, certainly. I think we've seen a lot of models like that where instead of purely a salary, a lot of especially executive workers are now going for shares in the company in order to share the risk. So if you look at in the mining sector, for instance, the mining charter, the 2018 mining charter has said that 5% shareholding should go to a workers' trust, so that they also bear some of the risk and therefore earn some of the profits. So there's nothing wrong with that. Certainly, if we understand the ways that business works, is that the capital that is injected in a business comes from the financial sector. Someone who has a plausible business proposal, they go and raise finance. So it's not their money that is at risk of being lost.
Yeah, but they are held... They're held responsible. Show me one bank that doesn't take your car, doesn't take your house, doesn't take the shirt off your back if you can't pay them back.
Of course, but what we are saying, the risk is allocated disproportionately.
Okay.
You know, to the extent that someone who takes the risk for the running of the firm suddenly get so much more of the benefits compared to the people who generate the wealth.
What do you think the disparity should be?
Well, it cannot be as simple as that, except that we are saying people should earn a living wage.
Okay, got you.
Yes.
Okay, and then one will have to have a discussion around what a living wage is. And then, on the other hand, you have people talking about smaller businesses who can't afford to pay a living wage. And those owners are asking, well, then if I can't pay the living wage, should I just not have my business?
Well, I guess that is where the discussion is in terms of saying there needs to be a relationship between the production and what gets into the pockets of the people who generate the wealth. So you can't be working in a small business with a small production line and therefore limited income and expect to be paid as much as someone who works for a big firm with significant income.
Okay. We agree on that. Let's look at some of the other numbers now. I just had to stop you there because, you know, it is a discussion that we've had on the show for quite some time. Just what are some of those other numbers?
Yes. If we get the richest 1% to pay just 0.5% extra tax on their wealth over the next 10 years, we would create an additional 117 million jobs in sectors such as caring for elderly and childcare, education and health. So this is where we are saying the edge for people to get rich is the one that is preventing us from achieving in the social sectors, such as in education, health and others, because they are creaming the top of the income and therefore preventing money flowing to the bulk numbers of the people.
I would rather prefer, instead of putting money in a fiscus where we can't trust governments, because they're a bunch of politicians who don't have skills in a lot of the areas in a lot of countries. I wouldn't say in each and every country, but they don't have the skill to do what they're doing. I mean, what is Gwede Mantashe doing with energy, for example? He shouldn't be there. He helped deconstruct Eskom. So why would I want my CEOs in my country to pay money into a fiscus when we can't even trust the people running it? Wouldn't it be better if we say, well, as CEOs, we're taking 1% of our wealth, and we're going to plow that back into our supply chains and create opportunities for smaller businesses and people to create more jobs, which is really where your multipliers lie.
It is big business that puts the politicians in place, not the ordinary people.
What are you talking about? No. What do you mean big business?
We know how they've been putting millions and millions in the overruns to finance the campaigns of certain people so that they ascend into high office in government, continue with the corruption. To be honest with you, there's a reason why big business do that.
So we're blaming big business for everything now.
Once the incompetent people get into government, such as the gentleman you've just mentioned, they then make sure that they have access to mining contracts without due process, such as consulting communities. They then make sure that there are tax cuts. They then make sure that instead of increasing in sourcing, they make sure that governments outsources workers. Yeah. They make sure that the huge tenders go back to big business. And then business.
You're presupposing, Tim and Corsi, that people on the ground are stupid. And they will eat up everything that ads and politicians tell them.
Well, I didn't say that, but
I mean, you're intimating that if you're saying big business is,
big business is the one that has an interest in ensuring that we have the politicians that we have, and they put their money behind that.
I like talking to you. I like how measured you are, Tim and Corsi. I really enjoy having this conversation with you, and we'll have more over the year. It's an important topic. You play an important role. We have to ask some really tough questions about the Gini coefficient globally and then obviously in our own geographies, or our own geography in particular. But thank you for your time. Tim Mkosi Dlamini, lead for Oxfam South Africa's Economic Justice Program.